Hello and welcome to ArcSieve LLM Daily EN. This is the show where we look at a new ArcSieve paper every day and try to keep up with the ridiculous speed of AI innovation, but in a way that stays practical for builders, product folks, and infra teams. The paper we're looking at today is titled Probabilistic Guarantees for Reducing Contextual Hallucinations in LLMs. In plain English, it proposes a way to put statistical guardrails around model answers that are based on context, like in retrieval augmented generation. If it works, it could make context-heavy apps more trustworthy. Mark will look at it from the field, real-world usage. Jamie will look at the AI and technical side. Concretely, what's the use of what they're proposing, and what need does it meet today? Mark, let's start with what need you're actually seeing on the ground.
In real life, teams ship RAG assistants and then discover the awkward middle. The model sounds confident, even when the retrieved docs don't really support the claim. Support agents, sales reps, and compliance folks keep asking, "Can I trust this right now with these sources?" Today we hack around it with brittle heuristics like a cosine similarity cutoff or only answer if there's an exact citation, and that either blocks too much or lets bad answers through. What people want is a measurable knob, a statement like, "With 95% confidence, this answer is supported by the retrieved passages," so they can choose to show it, soften it, or escalate to a human. That reduces rework, avoids risky auto actions, and gives product a way to set policies per use case.
So basically, you want a speedometer for truthfulness when the model is using your docs, so you can decide to show the answer, hold it back, or route it to review without guessing. Jamie, from the AI side, why is this kind of approach showing up now?
Two forces converged. First, we've pushed LLMs into longer, noisier contexts, bigger indexes, fuzzy retrieval, and the old confidence tricks aren't holding up. Second, the tooling matured. We can sample multiple answers, check consistency across retrieved chunks, and calibrate scores so they map to real-world error rates. That opens the door to probabilistic guarantees, formal bounds like at most X percent chance were unsupported, instead of heuristics. It aligns with how teams manage risk, set a target error rate, and gate actions accordingly. And with today's infra, the overhead is manageable. Think a bit more sampling and a lightweight verification pass, so you can trade small latency and cost for predictable reliability. At a high level, the paper adds a certification layer to RAG. After you retrieve documents and generate a candidate answer, the system computes a probabilistic guarantee that the answer is supported by the retrieved context. Concretely, it treats "is this answer grounded in the retrieved evidence" as a random variable and produces an upper bound on the error rate with a stated confidence. Think pack style. With probability at least 1 minus delta, the chance of an unsupported answer is below epsilon. They get that bound by calibrating on a small held-out set where support is labeled. Then at runtime, they score the new answer versus the retrieved passages, often using multiple samples or perturbations, and map that score to a certified risk bound using the calibration curve, where it plugs in right after generation and before you show the answer or trigger an action. You can also run it as a post-hoc verifier in a background thread. It replaces ad hoc tricks like only answer if cosine similarity 0.8 or relying on the model's own log prob as confidence. Compared to prior verification models that just output yes-no, this gives a formal error bar you can tune. Pick epsilon and delta per use case. Assumptions are explicit. You need your retrieval to be reasonably recall-friendly for relevant facts, your scoring function to be monotonic with actual support, and your runtime distribution not to drift too far from the calibration set. For sampling-based checks, they assume near independence across samples, or account for dependence with more conservative bounds.
So put simply, it stamps each answer with a confidence certificate that says, for example, we're 95% confident the chance this is not supported is under 5%. It sits between the model and the UI or action layer, and instead of gut feel thresholds, you get a dial you can set per workflow. Mark, what would this change in actual usage?
The first change is mindset. Product gets to pick a target risk instead of tweaking similarity knobs. In practice, we'd prep a small calibration set, maybe 200 to 500 Q&A pairs with labels like supported, unsupported, based on our own docs. We'd also tighten our indexing metadata so every chunk has a source ID and section title, because the verifier needs clean citations to score support. In the app, we add states. Show answer if it meets the guarantee, soften it if it's borderline, or route to a human if it fails. For teams, that means a policy doc. Sales can tolerate 10% risk with strong disclaimers. Compliance wants 1% with mandatory citations. It's more disciplined, but it aligns with how managers think about risk.
On the nuts and bolts, this usually runs in middleware as an extra API call or two. Cost latency comes from sampling and scoring. Think 1.5 to 3 times tokens if you take a handful of candidate answers or run a lightweight verifier model. You can parallelize to keep P95 latency in check and cache scores for repeated questions. The guarantees hinge on calibration. You run periodic checks to ensure the certified risk matches real errors. If drift creeps in, say you add a new document domain, you either recalibrate or widen the bounds. If your retriever misses key evidence, the method will often flag uncertainty rather than hallucinate a guarantee, which is the right failure mode.
So you pay a small cost for extra checks, but you get a reliable go, no-go signal. And you have to maintain a calibration set and watch for drift. Otherwise, the certificate stops meaning what it says. Mark, if you had to start this next sprint, what boxes would you tick?
Minimum viable setup. 1. Clean RAG index with per-chunk IDs, timestamps, and doc lineage. 2. A labeled calibration set from our top 3 intents. 3. Wiring for the guarantee threshold and 3 UI states, show, soften, escalate. 4. Logging that captures question, retrieve chunks, answer, certificate values, and outcome. 5. A feature flag to A/B the verifier to measure latency and deflection rates. Nice to have, a small internal tool where SMEs can relabel borderline cases weekly to keep calibration fresh, and budget caps so sampling adapts to traffic spikes.
And just to contrast explicitly with prior art, heuristic thresholds and model confidence aren't calibrated to real-world error. Separate verifier LLMs can look good in demos, but don't tell you how often they'll be wrong. This approach gives you an explicit error contract, epsilon delta, that product can reason about. It's not magic. Bounds can be conservative and depend on your data, but it's a principled switch from vibes to statistically grounded risk control.
If we applied it in a real team, Mark, what would it look like?
Take a customer support assistant. The agent types a question like, "What's our refund policy for refurbished devices?" The model drafts an answer from the knowledge base, and the verifier runs. In the UI, you see a small badge on the answer, green check with certified risk 5% if it passes, amber triangle with unsure, needs review if it doesn't. If it's amber, the assistant softens the copy. "I'm not fully confident, but here's what the docs say," and it shows the top 2 source snippets. There's also a send to human button that routes the case to a senior agent. As a developer, you wire a threshold in config, add the verification API call after generation, and define 3 UI states, show, soften, or escalate. You also log the certificate value so product can track how often we're over or under the target risk.
So basically, the agent sees a clear signal, green, amber, or handoff, and you've got a clean path to escalate, not a silent failure. That's the simple mode. For a more advanced case where the system might take actions, Mark, what would you set up?
A good one is marketing compliance. We have a workflow that checks a draft landing page for claims like 24/7 support or 99.9% uptime. The pipeline extracts each claim, retrieves policy and legal guidance, and the verifier certifies whether the claim is supported. If every claim clears a 1% risk target, the system auto-approves and posts to our CMS. If any claim is above that risk, it creates a JIRA ticket for legal with the highlighted text and the evidence it couldn't certify. Same idea for engineering release notes. The agent summarizes merged PRs and issues. If the certificate on each bullet clears 5%, it posts to Slack. If not, it pings the release manager for sign-off.
Under the hood, we compute a guarantee per unit of meaning, per claim, or per bullet. To gate an entire page with multiple claims, you compose those guarantees so the total risk stays under your target. A simple way is a union bound. If you want 1% total risk over 5 claims, you set about 0.2% per claim. That can be conservative, but it's safe. Latency and cost scale with the number of verified items and samples. If you verify 10 bullets with 2 samples each, you roughly double or triple tokens for that step. You mitigate with caching retrieval results, batching verification prompts, and running verification asynchronously, so the UI stays responsive while the final approval happens in the background.
Jamie, before people get too excited, can you walk us through the constraints and what has to be in place for this to work?
Sure. First, calibration. You need a labeled set from your domain, examples of supported versus unsupported, to map raw scores to guaranteed error rates. If your domain shifts, recalibrate. Second, retrieval quality. The method assumes relevant evidence can be retrieved. If your retriever misses key facts, the verifier will fail safe, but you'll see more unsure states. Third, scoring assumptions. The support score should correlate with actual support. If you swap prompts or models, validate that correlation. Fourth, independence. If you rely on multiple samples, the bounds are tightest when samples are roughly independent. If not, you use more conservative bounds, which can lower pass rates. Practical costs. Extra API calls, more tokens, and monitoring for guarantee drift, checking that your 5% target actually matches 5% in production. Future work the authors discuss includes better calibration techniques, tighter bounds that assume dependence explicitly, and standardized datasets that stress contextual hallucinations.
Put differently, you need some labeled examples up front, your retriever has to bring the right pages, and you have to keep an eye on whether your 5% risk is still 5% after you change prompts or add new docs. It's extra compute and a bit more plumbing. Mark, on the team side, what do you put in place so this runs smoothly?
We nominate SMEs to label 200 to 500 examples to start, and we build a tiny internal tool to review borderline cases weekly. We write a policy doc, which thresholds for which flows, who owns escalations, and how to handle overrides. In observability, we add a dashboard that tracks certificate values versus actual errors from spot checks and user feedback, plus drift alerts when pass rates change after a data update. For cost, we cap sampling on heavy traffic and switch verification to async where possible. And we document the UX so support and marketing know what the green and amber badges mean. No surprises.
Jamie, let's recap what the paper actually reports. What did they measure, and how did it compare to the usual baselines?
They evaluate on retrieval-style QA and synthetic contextual tests that stress support versus hallucination. Metrics include exact match and F1 for utility, plus faithfulness, precision, and the rate of unsupported answers. Against baselines like cosine similarity thresholds and a separate verifier model without calibration, the certified approach reduces unsupported answers at comparable or slightly better task accuracy. The improvements are meaningful. Think clear double-digit reductions in unsupported responses, while keeping cost and latency in a manageable range. Overhead typically looks like 1.5 to 3x tokens for the verification pass, with P95 latency increases that can be contained via parallelism. They note the setup is controlled, curated corpora, known domains, and deliberate calibration. When retrieval recall drops or domains shift, guarantees hold, but you see more unsure outcomes unless you recalibrate.
So for someone building a RAG app, you get fewer wrong answers slipping through, fewer escalations triggered by bad info, and a number you can put on a dashboard to prove it. You pay a small latency and token tax, which you can offset with batching and async verification. Mark, what should people expect when this hits production?
Expect a little worse than paper numbers. Real users ask weirder questions, and your docs are messier. Roll it out in phases. A/B test the verifier on your top intents. Start with conservative thresholds and human in the loop, then tighten thresholds as you gain two KPIs: unsupported answer rate and deflection escalation rate. Budget your token overhead. Batch verification during peak hours and cache aggressively for repeated intents, and plan a monthly recalibration sprint, especially after big documentation imports or model changes. Closing thought from the field. This helps most if you have a structured knowledge base, clear policies, and a real cost to being wrong. Support, finance, healthcare, legal, even internal IT. If your use case is open-ended brainstorming, you won't see the value. But if you need to trust a context-grounded answer and justify why, probabilistic guarantees give you a lever product and compliance can agree on.
In one sentence, this paper moves RAG from vibes-based thresholds to explicit, tunable risk guarantees you can wire into product decisions. To finish, a quick reminder, the English version of the podcast is available via the RSS feed on nblotty.org/iadaily/en and also on Spotify. Search for Arxiv LLM Daily EN. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.